The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Churchill said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." Kevin Hallinan believes that certainly applies to business. Welcome to Winning Business Radio here at W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. And now, your host, Kevin Hallinan.
Welcome back, everybody, to Winning Business Radio. I'm so glad to have you here today. The mission of this show, as regular listeners know, is to offer insights and advice to help people avoid the mistakes of others, right? To learn best practices, you know, the how-tos, the what-tos, the what-not-tos, to be challenged, and I always say to certainly and hopefully be inspired by the successes of others. Virtually every successful person that I've ever talked to has had some form of failure in their lives and careers, right? So while we all have to get our knees skinned once in a while, I'm driven to keep those scrapes from needing major surgery. Let's endeavor to learn from history so we don't repeat it. Today, my guest is Marjorie Wallens, founder and principal of New Boston Communications. Here's her bio. Marjorie Wallens is of New Boston Communications is a marketing communications and brand strategist with more than 25 years of experience in building awareness for company products and services that lead to increased sales and new opportunities. As a former network broadcaster and journalist, Marjorie is able to distill complex information to help clients tell their stories and create highly effective marketing strategies. After a successful career in journalism, she worked in the corporate world as head of corporate communications for a number of national and international companies such as GlaxoSmithKline and Prism Brands, owner of KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell in Canada before starting her own company. Preferring to work with small to mid-sized professional services firms that like to work as partners and want a customized approach to finding solutions to business challenges, she founded New Boston Communications. What differentiates New Boston Communications and her team is their dedication, energy, and breadth of senior-level experience to identify goals and challenges and to come up with solutions based on a collaborative approach. New Boston has worked in the B2B space as well as the B2C and in a variety of sectors, including law, education, transportation, pharmaceutical, biotech, health, hospitality, broadcasting, financial services, and tourism, and not-for-profit. Marjorie holds a BA in journalism from American University in Washington, D.C., and she resides with her husband, Rich, in Boston's Charlestown neighborhood. She also has a grown daughter who lives in London, four grown stepchildren, and grandkids, too. Marjorie, welcome to Winning Business Radio.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much. What a great introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I like my guests to understand a person's background because I believe it helps flavor who they've become, right? So tell us where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in Amherst, New York, which is outside Buffalo. I then went to school at AU, American University, as a journalist. And really what happened is in those days, guidance counselors kind of channeled women into teaching or nursing. And quite frankly, I wasn't interested in either.
Right.
And I was shut out of the teaching 101 class, and I stumbled into the journalism building, and I went, "Hey, this is for me."
That's funny.
So, went to school and eventually became a journalist in the communications area.
So you weren't necessarily interested in journalism when you were young.
No, I'd always been, in a way. I mean, I went to drama school.
Yeah.
And I acted in a lot of plays. I was outgoing. I was a good writer because you can't be a journalist without being a good writer.
Right.
But I mean, it's a sort of a level of curiosity that that you have, whether you're in journalism or in business in general. You really have to dig deep and understand what makes a company tick, what makes a CEO or, an individual who you're working with tick. And that was sort of part of my interest as a young person. And so when I stumbled into the journalism building, I went, whoa, this is for me. I was in Washington, D.C., and what better place and training ground, to learn.
Why did you choose AU in D.C.?
Well, first of all, I'm coming from Buffalo. I wanted to live in a bigger city.
Okay, that's fair.
No problem there.
Maybe a little warmer, too.
Oh, a lot warmer. It was a lot warmer in the winter, I'll tell you that. It was political. It was interesting. I had never really been in Washington before. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be very, very interesting. Again, I'm curious. It's kind of interesting. And I was so lucky to land in D.C. During that time. And AU had a good program. It's one of the best highly rated journalism program. I didn't know that at the time. And also, they accepted me. What can I say?
You're in. So talk about your first job and your first few jobs out of college. I know there's a transition there when you made your way to Toronto, but so work your way through your first few jobs and try to add in either a lesson learned or a key takeaway for each of those positions.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Well, it's hard. And listen, it was not easy to get a job originally out of school. It just isn't. And I had a lot of friends in Toronto. Being from Buffalo, you've got that connection. And I called them up. I was looking because in D.C. it was a major market and there was nobody who was going to hire a junior like me, even if I had interned at WRC, the NBC affiliate. And my friend said, oh, come to Toronto. It's a renaissance in media. So I packed up and I crossed the border. I said, I want to declare myself. This was way easier than I want to declare myself a landed immigrant. They wouldn't come this way. No. But I actually had a job before I left.
Oh, I was going to ask. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I was a little gutsy, but not quite that gutsy. And I was a researcher story editor for two shows. One was called The Money Game, which was called City TV, a new television station, very grassroots, very local advertisers and whatever. And also for a host, a guest, a full-time regular guest on a radio show called This Country in the Morning. So he was looking for research. So, no problem there. I acted as a researcher, and that was those were the first two jobs I had. And I worked from home and then went into the studio.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah. I mean, there you go. And I was very lucky to land both jobs. Lessons learned from that?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I was fearless. I don't know how
very
I did.
Good.
I mean,
yeah.
I changed countries to get a job in a major market, and I kind of bullshit my way in. I've been in Washington,
That's the second language in D.C., right?
Absolutely. I'd done student essays and stories and things, but I kind of bullshit my way in and said, I've been in D.C. and I know this person and that person and whatever. I was fearless. And somehow in the decade or so that I was a journalist and broadcaster and anchor in Toronto and in Ottawa, everyone who I went on who I talked to in the first 2 weeks that I was in Toronto looking for a job eventually ended up hiring me. So the advice is use your networks. I had a network of friends. Fortunately, were in the business. They were in the entertainment business. They were writers. They were journalists. And I said, who do you know? And they hooked me up. And it was interviewed by all these people over many years who eventually hired me as my career and experience grew. And so I was very lucky. But, good sound advice all the way through this, whether I was a junior story editor, production assistant, or today with my own business, is network. Tap into your sources. It could be your parents' friend. It really is not. I once talked to my pharmacist about some work I was doing. Lo and behold, I landed a client because he had a client. He had he was buying product from a company that was looking for somebody to produce TV commercials. And if I'd never mentioned it, so networking, being confident, being fearless, that really has helped me throughout my entire career.
I mean, that's how you and I met about 3 or so years ago, right? Through networking.
Exactly. Right. And the best advice, I think I didn't realize I was networking at the time. I don't even know if that term was really solid. Mm-hmm. But I do think that a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to network. Oh, I don't like it. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. But it's very important, and not be afraid to call your contacts and talk to them and really reach out, not be embarrassed about talking. It's not about you, too, when you network.
Oh, I love it.
Right. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's who are you, and making an individual a friend rather than a business contact. Yeah. Get to know them. There you go.
And a plug for a book that you may have read, but I get nothing for this other than I think it's a really good book, Give and Take.
Oh, tell me.
I believe the author's Adam Grant, but Give and Take. It's about givers and takers and connectors.
Wow.
It's just really good about networking. Yeah. So what was the career progression? How long did it take you to get on air? Talk about that.
So the progression was
an overnight success in 10 years, right?
But I was a lowly production assistant for maybe a year and a half. And then a new network was starting up in Canada called Global News, Global Network. Mm-hmm. And part of my job at City TV, it was a business show, was arranging interviews to fill airtime and stories and everything. And there was a journalist on City, on The Money Game, which I was working on, who was going to go as a reporter business editor of this new network starting up. Now, he knew me because I had been booking him and doing the research. And he called me up Christmas Eve and said, I have a new job for you. And I'm just about to, find another job because my contract was up. Uh-huh. And I ended up, and I was a story editor, production assistant, researcher for this show, which was called, it was a part of the Financial Post was paying for it, his spot on a network news and public affairs show. The news director at the time at Global had met me in that journey the first 2 weeks I had come to Toronto, and he said, oh, you should be a reporter. And I went, yes, sir. And instead of being a producer the guy that brought me in was so angry at me because he knew I was a resource for him, and I ended up as a junior reporter at Global, and a spear carrier, as they say, and I lost dogs and cats stories and whatever.
Right.
And then Global was going into bankruptcy. It survived. Happy story. It's been around for decades now. And other people who had seen me on air and friends that I knew from Ottawa said, oh, you should hire Marjorie. You should hire Marjorie. So I was called up by the news director in Ottawa, and he said, have you ever thought of moving to Ottawa? I said, not until today. This is Toronto. Got on the plane, and I walked in, and he said to everybody who was around, this is a fully functioning newsroom in Ottawa, said, before the day's out, Marjorie's going to be working for us. So there
Very
I was.
Cool.
And I loaded my car up and I moved to Ottawa, and I was there for 5 years. I was there for local news.
You were still single?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that was easy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was easy. Very easy that way. And when I was in Ottawa, Global News got back on its feet. And 2 years later, I spent 5 years in Ottawa, they hired me to be one of their network reporters on Parliament Hill. Very cool. I went from local news to a local station, on back to the network at Global. And then after a period of time, I can't remember, they were starting a news and public affairs morning show in Toronto. So there you go. So I was said, Marjorie, come back to Toronto, anchor the news and be one of our interviewers, which I did. And I anchored and co-hosted a news and public affairs show in the morning called Daybreak. So I went back to Toronto to do that. Yeah. So it would, and you know, morning shows are really tough, by the way. You're up at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
You know, tootling up the highway. And I wrote about 30% of the show. It was a low budget at the time. Mm-hmm. And then we maybe had 4 or 5 interviews a day. And then I would help line up stories. And I would come home at like 12, 1 o'clock, have a nap. Then research would arrive, go to, I went to bed earlier than the cat. And so,
you were eating Blue Plate specials at 3:30 in the afternoon or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it was murder. And you know, doing a morning show is really quite rigorous because of the timing, and you never quite, by Saturday rolls around, you're feeling terrific because you've now had a decent night's sleep and you haven't. And then Sunday it's all back to it. So that was my trajectory in the broadcasting world.
Well, believe it or not, we're at our first break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Marjorie Wallins, founder and principal of New Boston Communications. See you on the other side.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Is your pet overweight? Suffer from itchy skin and coat problems? Showing signs of food allergies? Then do your pet a favor. Stop by Fiesta Pet Deli, South Florida's original and only fresh food deli for pets. Prepared daily and FDA approved with products like Bravo, Nature's Variety, and BioComplete. Listen, dogs and cats are carnivores. 90% of their diet should be meat. That dry kibble you put in their bowl every day contains less than half of what their bodies require. Veterinarian owned and operated, Fiesta Pet Deli has one mission, to get your pet as healthy as possible. Give them a call today at 954-971-2500 or come check out their new store at the Festival Flea Marketplace at Sample Road in the Turnpike in Pompano, Florida. They also offer free local delivery, shipping throughout the United States. Check out their website at www.realfoodforpets.com or just Google Fiesta Pet Deli. If you truly love your pet and care about their health, stop by Fiesta Pet Deli. Call today at 954-971-2500.
Hey, this is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
Have you ever dreamt of being on the radio? Well, now is your chance. Be a radio show guest on the number one ranked internet radio station and promote you and your business for free. Yes, you heard it, free. Business advertising right here on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 now to get booked on one of our shows. That's 561-506-4031. Get your free advertising now.
You can tell what's wrong with a car just by sitting next to it at a red light. You can tear down a big block engine in 26 minutes. You know cars. We can help you find more of them to work on. And together, we can get your small business moving in the right direction. At AT&T Advertising Solutions, we have more ways to reach more people. With print, online, mobile, and direct marketing, AT&T Advertising Solutions has local advertising experts to help your small business find more customers. Call 1-800-GET-REAL to learn more. AT&T, rethink possible.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind, to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with Marjorie Wallins, founder and principal of New Boston Communications. And Marjorie, I wanted to just ask if you could share maybe one of the more compelling stories that you covered on air.
Oh, my. Well, let me see. Well, this is both heartbreaking and interesting at the same time. And it's not the kind of reporting, snooping I really want it to do, but it's the time when Pierre Trudeau was prime minister and he and Margaret Trudeau were splitting up. And, you know,
I remember that.
It was tragic, really. You know, she was sort of hanging out with the Rolling Stones in Toronto. And then eventually she went to New York because Yasmin Khan was there, a good girlfriend of hers. And she was at Studio 54 and she may or may not be wearing anything under her mini skirt. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. So because I'm intrepid in that sense, send Marjorie. So I had to go find her because what happened is they were talking on the tarmac in the private plane about the children and everything. And after that broke up, she disappeared and nobody could find her. And they said, Marjorie, find her. Through my sources and other people that I knew, somebody said, and here's a tie-in to Boston, said, she may be in Boston. Now, I knew Boston because I had friends here. I'd been coming here off and on for years. So they sent me and a reporter to Boston, and I got into the cab. And
this is the big deal. This is the prime minister's wife we're talking about.
Prime minister's wife, and She, after the Rolling Stones incident, where she was hanging out with them and all of that, and they were divorcing. So now it was like paparazzi stuff, which really just turns my stomach.
Yeah.
So this is both a good and a tragic story because it's not the kind of thing I like to do. Mm-hmm. However, I got into a cab. I went to the airport. I had my cameraman. The next day, I talked to a few cabbies and I say to them, and I knew Boston or whatever vaguely. And I said, where do you think? And apparently she was rumored to be outside Boston. So I said, where do you think there might be a bigger, heavier police presence? Right. And somebody said, well, I think there was some discussion about the North Shore. So we got into the taxi, my cameraman and me. I found a cabbie who was willing to, on the clock, hang out with us for as long as it could be.
Wow.
And went from town to town to town looking for a heavier police or a service presence in the town. And I can't remember where it was. I really can't remember the town, but I found her.
Wow.
And then, of course, we had to do what's called a stakeout. Now, this is not, it was tragic because here she was splitting up. It was not fun.
Yeah.
Paparazzi type stuff, which, you know, and then I fed stories back to the network and they were happy and everything. But, you know, it really turned my stomach. And eventually I just decided after that and a few other things that I didn't want to watch. I wanted to be a doer. And basically, I wanted to go another different way than journalism. And ultimately, I got out of it. And I went to what's called the dark side, which is the corporation, PR and whatever. But I really didn't want to get into stay as a journalist. I really wanted to be a participant in a more positive way. And that's when eventually at some point I left journalism.
And is that when you went over to, maybe not directly, but soon thereafter, Toronto Transit Commission?
Oh, yes, that's so true. Well, actually, I went to another network, network, and worked on a show called Live It Up, or Live It Down, as we might have said. It was just all sorts of interesting stories about people and their lives. Mm. But then what happened is I transitioned. So I read a book called What Color is Your Parachute? Now, this is a very, very old book. It's been on the It's been on the New York Times.
I have it somewhere here,
It's been on the New York Times best, and I recommend it to everybody who's looking for a career change. It doesn't matter how old you are, if you're in university or you're, oh, there you are, right? It doesn't matter. It's just, it's a very good book. And I took the test. I did the whole thing. And lo and behold, it came up with public relations. And I went, my God, this has been done to me. I mean, I'd worked with so many PR people and communications people. So from then on, then I started looking for jobs in journal, in public relations, PR, and communications. And I was hired by the Toronto Transit Commission to be their head of public affairs. And they had never had a professional in the organization. And they were a group that was more likely to obfuscate and not really be straightforward with the media. And of course, mm-hmm. I was not the media and I had a higher profile. And so
this is public transportation, Toronto, buses, trains.
It's the second largest transit system in North America behind New York City. So at that time, it had 500,000 riders a day. And it is the second large. Toronto's a very large city.
Yeah.
It's even larger in terms of population than Chicago, to give you a bit of an idea. And transit is the lifeblood of mm-hmm. a major metropolitan city. So I turned around and started creating. I didn't know anything about PR, to tell you, even though it had been done to me. Mm-hmm. And again, with networking, I knew people that were in the agency PR business and advertising. And I started calling up people that I knew to say, okay, what do you do? What's it like? Yeah. What do I need to know? And people gave me great information. And then I said, okay, then I developed a corporate communications plan. Mm-hmm. You need a blueprint. Doesn't matter what job or what you're in. And I created a marketing communication strategy and blueprint, which stood me in good stead for the next 5 or 8 years. And I ended up running a major. I came in as a one person. Mm-hmm. They were all men. I was the most senior woman in this group.
Nice. Maybe, yep.
They originally wanted to put me in note with the admin assistant. I said, I won't do that. I deal with a lot of confidential information. But basically, I created a blueprint and a job for myself. They didn't know what to do. Mm. And that's how I did it. And my advice to somebody is, when you go into a company, even if they have a job description, you really should create your own. Create your own or create a pathway mm-hmm. so that you have guidelines and get it approved, of course, by your senior people that you report to. Mm. But really carve out your own territory and turf and know where you're going. Same thing in marketing and business when I talk to clients. If you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you get there that you're there?
That's a great point. And I understand that you helped the commission capture and award the most outstanding North American transit system based upon proactive global media relations strategies, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Outstanding.
And that was with the American APTA, the American Public Transit Association. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then what I did there is that we held a whole series of celebrations. So then that added to the mystique or whatever. You know, it's smoke and mirrors in PR to some degree, but you know, it was the momentum of the Toronto Transit Commission mm-hmm. To give them a sense of like a very forward-looking, progressive transit system that was at the time, building, developing, and growing. Now, different times are mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. but it enabled me also to reach out to all of the international transit magazines around the world and tell our story.
Wow.
And of course, that enhanced the corporate reputation and the brand story of the TTC. And it was all intuitive with me, although I'd had some guidance. It was all intuitive on how to reach out and be an effective corporate communications and public relations person.
Then you spent the next 3 years at Seneca College of Applied Arts and Technology, director of MarCom, right?
Yeah. Well, Seneca College is the largest community college in Canada. They have 100,000 students full and part-time in about 10 different locations throughout Toronto. And again, they had never had a real pro doing their corporate communications. So I basically carved out and created a professional marketing department with real professionals and started advertising in the paper. I bought billboards. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is ages ago where, spending $250,000 on billboards in Toronto from an education from an educator. It was not necessarily done, but I had a terrific boss who believed in that and believed in me. And it became a very, I got him on the map. It was just from the marketing, the PR, and of course the advertising and communications, because telling your story is so critical. Mm. You know, that's what it's all about. It is building your brand, your reputation is telling your story. And that's why I partly call myself the storyteller in chief.
I like it.
Right. And that's what I helped Seneca do. And I helped them lobby to build a new campus on the York University at the same time.
Oh, wow. Is Seneca an Indian name?
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. And it was in the north. It started in the northeast or northwestern part of Toronto. Mm-hmm. So it had that provenance. But it was it's community college. But now it has Croft's reference with it has offers college and university degrees. So you can go there, then you can go to York University, which is kind of in the sister realm and geographically. And when you look at it, they had maybe 25 different departments. So really, you're marked to about 20 to 25 different constituencies. Mm-hmm. So I was able to cut my teeth on that and help raise the profile of individual departments.
We're going to take our second break right here. We'll be back, everybody, in just a couple minutes with Marjorie Wallens, founder and principal of New Boston Communications.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Be seen, be heard on the Internet's number one ranked radio station right here in West Palm Beach. What a way for your business to have a voice. Now is the time to advertise your business on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 for a deal you won't refuse. Again, that's 561-506-4031. Don't wait. Call now.
Hey, this is Johnny Three Tears from Hollywood Undead, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
I do whatever it takes to make it breakthrough. Anything I'm face to face with, it's true.
Have you ever dreamed of having your own radio show? Well, W4CY Radio makes dreams come true. You can be a radio personality on the number one ranked internet radio station in West Palm Beach, Florida. We can be heard in 105 countries in all U.S. states. Promote your business. Earn up to $10,000 per month and more. It's all up to you. Have fun and be heard. Call 561-506-4031. That's 561-506-4031. Start your radio show now.
This is Colt Ford, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind, to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with Marjorie Wallens, founder and principal of New Boston Communications. Marjorie, we were just wrapping up your experience at Seneca College, and I wanted to get over. Tell us about the couple of years you spent with GlaxoSmithKline. Very different environment is my guess, because now it's a multinational, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A very, very different experience. The pharma business is interesting. When I was head of Marcom, corporate communications for Seneca, Glaxo, we were two things. We were doing the PR communications for 12 different drugs that we were pushing out that year. So it was a very hectic time. GSK, which was Glaxo Welcome at the time, had a very robust pipeline. And there were lots of things going out. They were very big in the respiratory category. Mm-hmm. That's asthma, and things like that, and inhalers. And I was fortunate to be there during the time when Glaxo Welcome was about to merge with Smith Kline Beecham. Mm. So from a corporate communications, well, I had a large department, and you know, we were working on raising the profile of the various medications that Glaxo was offering, but also brand corporate reputation and brand reputation was real. This is in the pharmaceutical business, like your own personal brand. Mm-hmm. If your brand isn't, if you can't, you need to really be honest with your brand. And I tried to make sure that I know pharma's got a difficult, contentious relationships, but to really kind of pull out, what is it? What is the essence that makes your brand and your company different? And that's what I did when I was with GSK. But getting back to that, there's a corporate merger afoot, and it's very important.
A lot at stake.
All the work that I did prior to building up their corporate reputation, when the actual merger happened, the journalists I knew, the media that I knew, believed and felt that the president of the company and GSK had the best interests of the employees at the time. And that's what's important, is keeping that credibility, being honest. And I mean, there's all sorts of ways to be fair and objective in a contentious industry. So it was very interesting to be in the pharma world for that period of time and help them tell their brand story.
What were the dynamic differences between that large multinational versus a public commission, a college, or a smaller company?
Well, that's a very good question, because if you're in a multinational or a global company, you're really a link to many companies worldwide. And your impact really still has to be on the local level. So even if you're thinking global, still think local. Don't be thinking that you have to make an international impact when your constituency is really your local, meaning your country.
Yeah.
With Seneca, I was reaching, well, two things really very interesting. One, the metropolitan Toronto, but two, Seneca had a very robust international education component. I think about, 15% of Seneca's income, is a very entrepreneurial incident at the time, was from overseas students, because it had a good business school. It had a flight school the Chinese were using.
No kidding.
You know, they were getting the flight training. They needed the hours. I went over to, I was in Taiwan. I was in Korea. I was all over and marketing in, I don't know, Spanish, five different languages at least.
Wow.
To tell the Seneca story to the international businesses and schools. I mean, when you think we were talking to one Chinese ministry that, I mean, it had millions of employees. Wow. What they were looking for is a place to have flight training and hours. So what that meant is there are two things. They wanted that, but they also wanted American accounting and business practices, but they wanted to be in Canada. So we ended up ultimately building dorms. It was originally a commuter college.
Huh.
And so when you're looking at the whole business paradigm, you want this income, you want the international students, but how are you going to house them?
Yeah.
So we ended up building dorms and bringing students over. And I went to trade fairs and all sorts of things in Southeast Asia, promoting Seneca. So it was more international in a way for me.
That's interesting.
GSK, although with GSK, I was part of the international merger team, which was kind of interesting. And the Toronto Transit Commission, being the second largest transit system in North America, gave it a kind of a cachet. And it was at the time building and a leader in transit. It's not quite the same now. Many transit organizations have fallen down, partly economics, partly changes in government where they reduced the amount of money that governments would give in the fare box. TTC was engineers. Seneca were educators. Mm-hmm. And Glaxo, they were all a personality, science-driven professionals. So there are three different personalities and corporate cultures in that.
Wow.
In those companies.
All right. So take us through. You started two different companies. Start with MJW Communications. You ran that. You started that. It looked like in 01.
Yeah.
And you ran that in Toronto for 17 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So after Glaxo, I decided I really I got a great package. I mean, they were, they were merging. They really had a role. They were going to be doing a lot more internal communications. It wasn't my interest. And I said, why not set up my own company? And I always wanted to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I started, I was very, very lucky because almost immediately I landed a major contract. I don't know how I do these things very big. It was with Prism Brands, which at that time, that's what it was called.
Right.
Prism Brands, which is KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. And the Canadian owner owned maybe, I'd say, about 80% of the franchises.
Wow.
So what he did is he owned KFC and Yum Brands. The U.S. was the parent company at the time. He bought or franchised those 80 companies in Canada from Yum. Then he had to take two different corporate cultures because Yum was very much a very corporate culture, it wasn't very competitive in a certain way, and it was run by Pepsi managers and things like that, where the owner in Canada was very entrepreneurial. I mean, he brought the Raptors to Canada like in his 30s.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So I got a wonderful chance to work with him. And I mean, if I came up with a marketing idea, he came up with a better one. He was just terrific. So we had to bring together two corporate cultures and help the managers of each franchise or each facility become more entrepreneurial. And that meant internal communications, helping them understand the entrepreneurial way of being more or less like an owner.
Sound like an easy ask.
It's very tough. It's very tough. You work with your HR people. You organize pep talks and events, but
trainings.
Also town halls. I did a lot of town halls at Glaxo as well, and town halls across the country where we would do regular updates. We had a satellite feed, regular updates, what's going on, and education component, and try to help bring the corporate culture. And of course, I'm just one person of many who do that. So I was very lucky. I mean, I had that great client. Anyway, in a way, it was great and it helped set my company up. But what happened is at a certain point, well, then there was the stock market meltdown in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a life lesson, folks, really. Okay. I had always worked for large companies, large corporations, or large individuals, and all of a sudden, the whole paradigm changed.
Yeah.
Big agencies, big PR agencies, were now starting to bring their own PR and marketing in-house. So what I did, it came to me, is I decided to hire a coach. So another life lesson is always ask for advice or get good information. So I hired a business coach. I spent 3 months with her redefining my business and what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And where was my target market? Where was I going to go? What were my messages? Same thing I do with people every day with my clients.
Right.
And I started working in the SME group, the small, medium enterprises. Mm-hmm. Second thing was, she said, get out there and network. And I went, oh, my God, I don't, like, network. I don't like networking. And I did the research, found, I went to a lot of different networking groups and checked them out to see whether it was something. And I wasn't that keen on it. However, as a result of that, I redesigned and refined my business to the small, mid-size. Well, I'd rather work with individuals, presidents, CEOs have skin in the game. Far better than working with the large corporate.
I was going to ask that, yeah.
Yes, definitely, because A, you become more of a partner. B, you're collaborative. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for three or four levels above or below to to agree with your value proposition and things like that. It was a very valuable lesson, and I started networking. And as a result, because now I have this company, I joined a business network international. I was also an excellent all women's club in Toronto. I was a member of Verity, and I started networking. And as a result, 2008 rolled by, and by 2009, I was repositioned. And I started building my business, MJW Communications.
Fantastic. Okay, so now a little bit of another transition. Let's fast forward a few years. And you find yourself moving from Toronto to the U.S. back to the U.S. to Boston.
Yeah. I married a Boston boy.
Okay.
Basic.
That'll
basic
do it. That'll do it.
You know, basic story. We actually met in first or second grade, and so we've known each other and went all through high school together. But he married his high school sweetheart, and unfortunately she passed away. And I had maintained a strong friendship with the family for years, and eventually we got together, and I commuted. From Toronto, we commuted from Toronto to Boston for a decade. I had my company. I certainly wasn't going to leave that. And he was certainly very busy as a partner and litigator for a major law firm in the U.S. So eventually, when I moved, I had to close for tax reasons. I closed my MJW Communications and set up New Boston. Communications, again, retooling. I didn't know whether I would do well enough in Boston. I'd been told that, you know, it wasn't that friendly.
That's not true, but that is the wreck. That is the...
And Toronto was, when I arrived in Toronto, was the same thing. Oh, it's cold. You know, everybody's uptight. But I have found nothing but terrific people willing to help me. And it's just been a great experience. And again, I started networking.
Well, tell us about the work specifically that you do and who you do it for.
So, I work for a variety of sectors, whether it's many law firms at the moment, financial services, professional services firms. And what I do is I help clients understand what and why their customers buy from them. Very important to understand what makes your brand, what is your brand story, what makes you different, what motivates people to buy from you. And then I start creating the marketing strategies that helps a company move forward. And it could be, it's definitely messaging. Messaging is critical. It's understanding their particular niche in the marketplace, what makes them different. And then
be both corporate company level and individual level?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Companies and corporate level. It's critical for any company to really rethink periodically where they're going, what is their... What makes them different, and why would customers buy from them? I mean, you really need to kind of reinvent yourself periodically and do a kind of a litmus test. I will work with them. I will audit their clients to find out what makes them different. I just finished working with a financial advisory group and talking to their clients. What makes them different? What's the value proposition? What's their unique sales proposition? And I ferret all of that out, and then we create a marketing strategy. And it's messaging, it could be website, web development, it's a search engine optimization, obviously, as part of
the web. So strategy and execution.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I manage all of those things. Execution is a lot of online digital marketing is mm-hmm. a very integral part of my business and how I help people get found on the internet and advertise as well.
So
Facebook,
Instagram. Sorry, we are almost out of time. Who in the listening audience should reach out, and then how do they do that?
Well, I would say a mid-sized company or an entrepreneurial, a professional services firm mm-hmm. or an entrepreneurial company that wants to review and understand their brand, they might not right now be getting as much of a bounce and response in clients coming to them mm-hmm. and need a bit of a, they need a boost. They need a sales boost. They need a business boost. They need to reexamine their value proposition and sales proposition want to go down that path and find their voice.
And so the easiest way to connect would be to go to your website?
Website, newbostoncommunications.com. Marjorie Wong.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm sorry we ran out of time. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time. You were a great guest.
Well, thank you. That was a lot of fun, Kevin. Thanks for inviting me.
You got it. And thank you, everybody, for listening. This is a show about business and business challenges. If you've got concerns about the growth of your company, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook or LinkedIn at Winning Business Radio, or you can drop me a note. It's kevin@winningbusinessradio.com. Our company is Winning Incorporated, part of Sandler Training. We develop sales teams into high achievers and sales leaders into true coaches and mentors. We're not right for everybody, but maybe we should have a conversation. Thank you, as always, to expert engineer Rebel Medler. Tune in again next Monday, April 26th at 4 p.m. Eastern. My guest will be David Coppins, co-founder and CEO of IntelliCare, an on-demand workforce management solution for post-acute healthcare facilities. Until then, this is Kevin Hallinan.
You've been listening to Winning Business Radio with your host, Kevin Hallinan. If you missed any part of this episode, the podcast is available on Talk 4 Podcasting and iHeartRadio. For more information and questions, go to winningbusinessradio.com or check us out on social media. Tune in again next week and every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to listen live to Winning Business Radio on W4CY Radio, W4CY.com. Until then, let's succeed where others have failed and win in business with Kevin Hallinan and Winning Business Radio.